Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. Ed on the other side of the glass, engineering the show and taking your calls at 790-2040, 790-2040 on this Thursday, November the 13th, 2014. Hard to believe 2 weeks from today, we'll all be sitting down, enjoying a big turkey dinner and giving thanks for all our blessings. Thanksgiving creeping up on us, coming up very quickly. We are broadcasting from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We're live streaming at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. BuckmasterShow.com, also the place where we park all of our shows at their conclusion for our podcasts, anytime, anywhere, listening in the world. And that's available, again, at BuckmasterShow.com. We're going to get right into it. It's time for our monthly showdown featuring two gentlemen who rarely agree on anything. In right corner, it's Sean McCluskey, Mr. McCluskey, Tea Party and Republican Party activist, weighing in at, I'm not going to do the boxing.
Heavy.
With his weight. Yeah, okay, we'll forget about that. And in the left-hand corner, leftist David Morales. David is the creator of the Three Sonorans blog site. David and Sean, how are you gentlemen today?
Excellent.
Doing well, thank you.
I want to talk about politics, obviously. I want to talk about the election. Just to kind of do a little tease here, this news just broke in the last 15 minutes or so. President Obama is going to go ahead and ignore a lot of angry protests from Republicans. He'll be announcing perhaps next week a major overhaul of the nation's immigration enforcement system. According to the New York Times, Sean, this is going to protect up to 5 million undocumented immigrants from the threat of deportation and provide many of them with work permits. Sean, let me ask you right off the bat, and then we'll get to the election, but this is the top story right now. Is this going to undermine what had been hoped for, a new kind of spirit of cooperation with the Republicans having the majority now in the House and the Senate and with the White House?
Well, he's coming out and he's throwing the first punch of the fight. And if he doesn't think that there won't be any retribution or reprisal from the Republicans in both the House and Senate, good luck. They're going to come out swinging and you'll see the Tea Party uproar. If you do this and you go against the Constitution, you're going to see a huge backlash.
It's executive action.
Yeah, and he'll see a huge backlash for it. Absolutely. There will be retribution by the Republicans out of both House and Senate.
And David, I just gave you this news as you walked in. Just some of your thoughts off. You welcome this, I assume.
Well, I mean, the Republicans have already admitted for many years now that their goal is to stop Obama at any cost. And there's nothing really going to be done in the next 2 years I can see. He's going to veto everything that they pass. So executive order, I think he should have done this 6 years ago when he first started. Pass the DREAM Act. I mean, that's a first start.
So you think this is action that should have been done a long time ago?
Well, everyone agrees. I mean, even, John McCain, the Republicans, that the system is broken. And there's nothing going to be done to fix it in the next 2 years. So hopefully with this executive action, at least you can have some legal status, you can have some way to monitor and to deal with the people that are here. It's not, they're not going to disappear all of a sudden just because you have no action.
But you're not going to stem the tide of those that are coming. You're going to increase more for coming. How about secure the border first, then create the action?
How do you secure the border?
Put troops on it, man it, put people who are unemployed on it, build the fence. I mean, there's several ways we can do it.
On the Canadian border, on the Mexican
border?
Do them
both. Sure, why not?
How much is that going to cost?
Okay, well, we've got an unlimited supply of money to feed and house all the undocumented or illegal immigrants.
No, how much is it going to cost?
I have no idea. I'm not a border security expert.
Immigrants work and they pay for their own food and they pay their own rent.
Then great, if you're going to do something like this, let's appease everybody, get rid of the entire IRS system, and then go to a flat tax or a consumption tax, because that's the only way you make it fair. Otherwise, you're stealing from me and everybody else. Or also, if you're going to wave the pen, why not make them mandatory 2-year military service? Give something back to the country.
Oh, include that in the
include
executive
that in the executive action. Make it a little palatable to the Republicans. Otherwise, you are going to see an oh my god backlash from the Republicans.
Well,
they're going to come
the
full
DREAM,
force.
The DREAM Act has that provision in there. You serve 2 years, and even that the Republicans aren't for. So, you're not going to please the Republicans no matter what. I mean,
you don't need to please them all. You just need to please enough.
And the timing of this is kind of in your face.
Oh, absolutely. And, right, and like I said, election. You're going to come out swinging. You're going to throw the first punch of the fight. The Republicans will fight back. I guarantee it.
Let's switch to the election. We can come back to the 790-2040. David Morales on our Friday roundtable, Jim Nintzel, the Weekly, brought up the fact that perhaps in the close race between Dr. Garcia and Diane Douglas for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jim felt that Dr. Garcia's name, being Hispanic, actually hurt him. He feels there was race involved.
Well, I mean, I think...
Would you agree with Jim?
I would agree that race was involved as well as in addition to being a Democrat. But race and party affiliation are very highly correlated. For example, how many, how many black House of Representatives are there in the Republican Party? How many senators are there from the, black senators? So when you talk about party, you're talking about race because, the Republican Party is a predominantly white structure that, likes to pass anti-immigrant legislation and ban books and TUSD and stuff. So I think with, post 1070 Arizona, immigration, like right now, you just saw how heated the immigration debate got because mm-hmm. you're talking about Mexicans, you're talking about America, you're talking about culture, you're talking about the future browning or non-browning of America. And I think, here you had a situation where you had a completely way more qualified candidate, educated, an education professor. I mean, think about the stuff that you do in your regular life. Like when you get a plumber, you want someone that's licensed, bonded, and insured. Or when you have, someone build your house, you always want someone that's qualified. But when it comes to running the schools, Republicans think that anyone off the street can teach about climate change. Think
this
about
guy evolution. Is not,
She's not completely, yeah. Diane Douglas is not completely unqualified for the job. She's got plenty of qualifications, but there is one thing that you are lacking. Your candidate failed to do his job. He failed to get out and work. He lost his fanny in Pima County. If you look at the difference between him and Duvall, he came out, Duvall had taken five, there was a 5% difference, there was a 12% difference in Pima County. Your boy, 17%. Why was there a 5% drop off? Because he was lazy. He didn't work for it.
All right.
He did not
get out. The
lazy
Mexican, I know.
He did,
how many forums?
A lazy candidate, yes.
Lazy
Mexican, no.
How many forums did Diane Douglas not show up to?
Irrelevant to the fact
that is doing work.
What else did your candidate in? He did not like school choice vouchers. And what did that do? You had a dissension amongst Democrats. They said, oh my God, I want to put my kid in a better school. I don't want to keep him in the crappy TUSD. I want to put him in, Mother of Mary and Holy Joseph or wherever. Either way, that was his downfall. His downfall was not his surname. It had nothing to do with his Hispanicness because of the fact that you said it for yourself. The guy was almost overqualified for the job.
I know, and that being educated is a bad thing when you're a Republican.
Being lazy as a candidate is horrible.
See, that's what I mean. You're already going.
The numbers are right here. Look at them. Look at the numbers. They show that he got slaughtered in Pima County.
That's what to do
was
with
he down here campaigning much?
In the primary. In the primary.
No,
the
he
one
was here.
Primary. Where
he
was he?
Here. He was where here was many he? Times in Pima County.
He was on this station in the morning, and his
but
downfall
he was, in Pima
was
County.
He came out and said, I'm against school choice.
See, the thing
and
is.
And the host almost ate him alive.
So here's the thing.
Because one of the host's kids goes to the school. You were here, Ed.
One of the first things you did is you went for the whole lazy Mexican thing.
No, I did not. I said he was a lazy candidate. You said
he was not lazy.
Yes, he was. He did not campaign in Marana at all. He did not have even one sign in Marana.
How many times did Diane Douglas go to Marana?
Her signs were everywhere. I don't know if she went there, but she was all over the place.
She never showed up
to
debate. You can't tell me how she is more qualified than David Garcia.
Didn't say she was more qualified. I told you your candidate was almost
overqualified. So you agree that a lesser qualified
person
happens
all
the
time. Karen, you look Ben Garcia. Ben Garcia overqualified. Karen, you look horrible for the city. Absolutely, it happens.
So basically, there's an affirmative action for white candidates in Arizona.
No, not at all. Diane,
well, she's less qualified,
nothing,
isn't she?
Nothing with her race or her sexuality or her whatever had Republicanism had anything to do with it.
It did. She
your
ran
candidate
on,
did
I
not
I want to
work.
Stop Obama's Common Core, which she can't do anything.
Absolutely,
she can't do anything to stop it. So why vote for her on that issue when she can't stop it?
Did your
because
side
Obama is evil and Garcia is evil?
No, you failed your candidate because you were unable to give your side of the story.
You're just making stuff up now because he showed up to forums. Everyone endorsed. All the Republicans even endorsed him.
No.
Steve Smith,
no.
The Chambers of Commerce.
Not all the Republicans. A very small fraction. If they all endorsed him, he would have won on a landslide.
So but he did get some Republican endorsements. Jaime Molera, the former school superintendent. Diane...
He did have some crossover.
So what you're saying is you personally voted for the less qualified candidate to run our schools.
I chose for her because of school choice. That was the thing that did
David
Garcia.
And what's she
going
to do for school choice?
She's not going to suspend it. She's not going to suppress it. And she won't end it like he
said. What is she
going to
do, though? Like, what program is she going
to do? Keep it in place. It'll give the parents the opportunity, if they wanted to not send their kid to TUSD, they wanted to send it to the school of their choice, they can do so. Your candidate said that they were not going to do that.
On parochial schools. That's the law.
It's currently in place now.
Yeah, and that's a violation of the law, and it's going to be found in violation.
It will.
Just like 1070 was recently, this last week.
So getting back to the race thing, Sean, you're saying that there might have been, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there might have been some folks that saw the name Garcia and voted the other way just because of that.
Okay, the older dying right-wing Republican crowd that is dying off and that still has the little slight tendencies of racism, they may have not known anything about the race and went, Garcia, Douglas, I don't know. And that's the very, very small, maybe 1% of the far older white ring that would, I can't even say that. That's the only, if you're going to include race in it, that's as far as I can stretch it.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not looking at it going, oh, David Garcia, no, I can't vote for him because he's Mexican. That doesn't happen.
How many minority candidates did you vote for, Republicans did you vote for in this election?
How many minority candidates did I support? Let's see. Sergio out of LD2 in...
No, did you vote for?
Statewide. Who was I eligible to vote
for? Who did the Arizona Party put up statewide and support statewide? That's Latino.
I don't know, but
it's silence.
No, I only know about my local races.
We'll check it out maybe during the break, but this is a good time, Ed, to take a break. 790-2040. Sean and David, they'll be right back on the monthly showdown. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Perfection Auto Works. Are you looking for a good mechanic? People are always asking me, Sean, do you know of a good mechanic? I'm sure you get it too, don't you?
I got a couple. I got a couple local guys that turn wrenches.
Well, I recommend Mike Emery and the Perfection Auto Works team. Midtown location. I've been to the shop. Man, you could eat off the floor. It's that clean. These people do a great job over there. PerfectionAutoWorks.com. Check them out. We'll be right back.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control is announcing they now have pigeon services with a pigeon poem. Pigeons procreate prodigiously, producing up to 8 progeny per year. Perching precariously, they plaster half their weight in poop per day. Poop collects, creating a problem with parasites and pestilence. Employ Five Star Pest Control's pigeon trapping and exclusion program, and you will be pleased. Whew, getting through that was way harder than you might think. Call Five Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com. And we know what
bugs you. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Long ago, in a distant land. I, Governor William Bradford, want to thank the Wampanoag Indians and the honorable colonists gathered to give Eustace Emery a very special thanks.
Why is that, Governor?
For fixing the main spar on the Mayflower, that's why. And what do you have to say for yourself, eh, Eustace?
I want to thank you, Governor, for bringing us to the New World. And fixing things is what I do.
So it was that the ancestors of Mike Emery have been fixing things since the days of Plymouth Rock.
Bring your Plymouths, Jeep Liberties, and even that restoration project to Perfection Auto Works.
It's the Specialist's biggest sale ever. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, everything in our stores is priced up to 70% off. Want some JL subs? We've got them. And we'll even give you the second one free. Need a new amp? How about a Rockford Fosgate for $89? Everything at our lowest prices of the year. For 3 days only, November 13th, 14th, and 15th. At the Specialist's biggest sale ever. Speedway, Broadway, and Wetmore at the Auto Mall.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of handwoven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Immerse yourself in these fascinating wonders of science with the new UA SciPass. Explore Flandreau Science Center, Stewart Observatory Mirror Lab, and Biosphere 2 at a 39% total savings by purchasing your UA SciPass for only $30. This VIP pass is brought to you in partnership with the UA Bookstore and can be purchased by visiting b2science.org. Visit all these amazing science projects today with the new UA Science Pass. Back to the monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey is here and David Morales, and they've been going at it hot and heavy in the first segment. A couple of things happening. The breaking news about President Obama planning to protect up to 5 million from deportation. Of course, we're talking about the elections. And David, you had brought up to Sean that there really weren't that many folks of Hispanic heritage on the ballot, on the Republican side.
Yeah, in Arizona, the only one I can really think of is... you know, Gabby Mercer, you know, on a big scale. And there was a few.
LD2, Daniel Estrella, he won. He was down there. He didn't win, but he ran. He ran a great race.
Mm-hmm. And David, you don't think that Gabby got the support she was hoping for?
I mean, she thinks she didn't even get the support that she needed. And I think it was just kind of, they just figured she would lose anyways. And that's probably the only reason why they, you know, let her run. I mean, when McClung run.
We don't let people run the Republican Party. If they want to run, they run.
But I think there was a lot more support for Ruth McClung than Gabby Mercer. Myself.
So you just feel she was like a sacrificial lamb.
It was like a Joseph Sweeney, you know.
Not at all. Not at all. Sweeney. Not at all in the realm of Joe Sweeney, and not at a sacrificial lamb at all. Gabby ran a very challenged race. She came out 65-35 in the early numbers, and you have to pick and choose where you're going to spend your money. If you think that you're going to lose by 15 points, you're going to lose by 15 points. She ended up losing by 5. She ran a great race. She did a lot with what she had. The RNC pumped in money in all of those races. How did we get Chris Ackerley out of LD2? Because the RNC pumped in almost $1 million into that area.
Back to the Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction race. We were talking during the break. David, you're concerned that one of the things that Diane Douglas, as Superintendent of Public Instruction, has the power to do would be to eliminate ethnic studies from public school curriculum in this state. She doesn't have the power alone to eliminate Common Core. That would have to go the Arizona Board of Education, which is, I think it's a 10 or a 12 11 person board, would have to make that decision. But you're worried about the ethnic studies future.
I mean, if you look at what the state superintendent does, it's mostly a regulatory agency, and they check the budgets of every district and stuff. But thanks to Tom Horn and John Hoopenthal, which made race an issue in the last race, and that's what they ran on, the ethnic studies issue, that the state law, HB 2021, gave them the power to judge ethnic studies to be, you know, illegal. And, you know, John Hoopenthal, of course, banned Mexican-American studies and TUSD. And, you know, this is another way race comes into the issue, because I'm sure you don't want Mexican-American studies to be taught. And, you know, David Garcia would have allowed it to be taught. Mm. Your person will probably keep it banned. So
Diane Douglas will most likely keep it banned, but she'll also take the curriculum and streamline it and tell them, you know, you have to teach certain classes. And why don't we teach the kids Constitution? Why are we teaching?
We do. Have you ever seen the curriculum for the Mexican-American Studies? I mean,
not for Mexican-American Studies, just for U.S. Constitution. Why don't we teach them that? Why don't we
teach
them?
You have not seen the curriculum. We do teach the Constitution.
To every child.
Yes.
In every
U.S. government class. I mean, that's what you study.
No, not a U.S. government class. A Constitution
class. Tell me about the part of the Constitution where it says blacks are 3/5 of a person.
There's an article that says that. And then you have to go to the next part says, hey, look, we started out here and we've progressed as a nation. And you have to give them the whole picture.
Yeah, and let's talk about how the founding fathers were slave owners. I mean, let's talk about everything.
Not all of them.
Most of them. Thomas Jefferson.
Depends on which
the guy
side
says
the North
all men are created equal, had his own slaves. I mean, let's talk about everything. That's the thing. You want to just have this glorified version of, like, there was never any racism.
No, there was never any slavery. I just said I want to start at the beginning and to explain to them this is where we started. Mm-hmm. Yes, we were not a perfect society. We've progressed and we've perfected it, or we're moving towards perfection because we're not perfect yet.
We're far from perfection.
Exactly. But we're getting there because when we started originally, we were imperfect. And it took us a while to realize, hey, look, dummy, you need to fix this. And we did. We put in an amendment and we fix it. And we move forward and we continue to get progressively better. You want to move us backwards.
Conservatives want to stay in the past. Progressives are the ones moving forward. Right? Conservative means
no.
We like status quo. It's conserve the current structure, isn't it?
Yes. In the simpleton definition of it, yes. If you want to keep it that way, you can keep it.
Well, Republicans are simpletons, so you know they like non-educated candidates because they know the buzzwords.
Non-educated.
Well, he's referring to Diane Douglas being the lesser of the two quality candidates.
And she even used that against David Garcia. You know, that's the thing. Same thing they do with Obama. And Janet Brewer, no college degree. All these people, I think over half of the Republican legislature has no college degree.
Really?
Yeah, and that's fine. They run the schools. And that's why we can't even balance the budget. We want more schools, and everyone's afraid.
So you're saying it's the Republicans who are just undereducated.
The uneducated
undereducated leaders
On Friday's show, when Jim Nensel mentioned, you know, that race might have been an issue, someone called in and just proved my point. They said, well, Ali Miller liked Diane Douglas, and that's good enough for me. That's ignorance. That's not an educated vote. That's not someone that's saying, let's look at these two candidates. Let's see who's more qualified. I mean, you do this for your car mechanic. You do this for plumbing, for who's going to paint your house. But when it comes to teachers, we have no standards for teachers. We're like, any person off the street, teach them at home. You don't have to teach them about evolution. You don't have to teach them about climate change. Just teach them whatever you believe.
So you're saying that the Republicans are the party of the undereducated leaders.
Not hardly.
It's
really
true.
Condoleezza Rice. I'll just stop right there.
Okay,
That's all I'm going to say.
One person.
One of the most educated women in the entire country.
Look, as an aggregate.
By the way, she happens to be a minority, too.
As an aggregate.
How about Mia Love? She's also another minority.
You're naming one person here, one person there. Name as an aggregate. Over half of the.
You gave the example of, I'm going to follow Ali Miller endlessly and blindly off the edge of the cliff. It's not going to work that way.
To prove that that's what Republicans vote. They're the ones that do that.
Oh, you're kidding, right? The party of no primaries? Here, these are our candidates. You vote for them because we tell you.
I didn't vote.
Really?
I didn't vote for all my candidates.
You're going to tell me that we follow somebody blindly and you don't even challenge for the seat.
You're talking about party politics. I'm not the party.
Okay. You just blamed every Republican who's following blindly, and we're going to fall off the cliff.
Democrats
because somebody
do the same thing,
so.
Too.
You guys don't even challenge.
It's not me, guy. I'm not a Democrat, so you can't say.
You're an independent.
I'm a Green.
Wow.
You're a Green Party.
Yeah.
Huh.
There's a few of us out there.
Huh.
There's a twist I didn't see coming.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
I'm a Green Republican, but I mean, I'm still a Republican. I'm not going to change
that. Well,
you
guys like the green capitalism.
Yeah, we like the, you know, the green that goes in my pocket. And
but
why
David,
don't the city
you have
have
talked before on this program, you feel you, in your life, you've been repeatedly a victim of racism. Right?
To this
yes,
day.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of the whole system.
And you had an experience just recently, didn't you, about that?
Over this weekend, I went to a conference.
I thought so.
And, you know, a TUSD principal was belittling all the MAS teachers, and you know it's all on threesonorms.com.
What race was that teacher that was belittling the principal that was belittling the others?
Just as bad, just like Latino cops.
But what was he was a Hispanic individual? Yes or no?
Right.
So Hispanic on Hispanic
it's
crime, like
power.
I said before,
no.
is worse
There's
than white
difference.
On
guys.
Hispanic.
Let's try to work Hector in on the live line. Hector, go ahead. You're with Sean and David and Bill.
David and Bill, hey. So this is why I'm like. I'm not a Democrat or Republican, but I mean, I know the dude said he's Green Party, but that's all I hear is this arguing. There's like this and that. Like, you guys are throwing rocks at each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm standing back saying, this is why all this stuff doesn't work. The political process, people don't, and you know, like the Mexican American studies, like, that's the, we don't need that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's just stupid. We don't need to be, because then what about the black dude in the class or the white dude that's not a Mexican American? Like, okay, we need to stop dividing people.
All right,
you know what I'm saying, like, by races and stuff. It's,
okay,
it's stupid.
Thank you, Hector. David, what do you think about that? Hector says we don't need
Well, I mean, that's an ignorant comment, too, because he doesn't realize the way Mexican American studies works. It does not divide by race. People choose to take it on their own, and there was black people and there was white people in there.
What he was,
you know,
saying
who divides
is,
people
his
by race?
African American studies, his Irish American studies,
and they have
Asian American studies.
They have African American studies. They have white studies. It's called American history. It's called European history. It's called English literature. That's the whole foundation of America.
Okay, guys, I do have to go. We could keep this going, obviously, for another hour, but we're going to have to leave it right there. The Monthly Showdown. Sean and David, I hope both of you have a really nice Thanksgiving coming up, and we'll see you in December. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll be back on the Buckmaster Show at exactly 12:30 right now.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Time for our CEO interview series presented by TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated, offering a comprehensive approach of programs and services to facilitate the creation of high-wage jobs through the attraction of new primary companies, the retention and expansion of existing primary companies, and increased business creation and entrepreneurship strength within our region. Since 2005, TRIO has facilitated some 70 project successes in Southern Arizona, representing over 10,000 direct jobs and an overall economic impact of $4.3 billion. That's with a B, billion dollars. More information, visit TRIO, TREOAZ.org. Joining me on the Buckmaster Show live line, Anthony Smith, chair of the Pinal County Board of Supervisors. Prior to his election to the board in 2012, Supervisor Smith served two terms as mayor of the city of Maricopa. Supervisor Smith recently joined the TRIO Board of Directors. Supervisor Chairman Smith, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you, and thank you for having me on the program.
Well, it's our pleasure, and it's very interesting. Pinal County now has a seat at the table at the on the TRIO Board. What was Pinal County's motivation for joining TRIO?
Well, this was a great opportunity for us to work together, I believe, on common issues that benefit Southern Arizona and ultimately all of Arizona. I see it really formulating in three main areas: transportation, economic development, and political. In transportation, I believe that we can continue our efforts to upgrade the existing transportation corridors. That's Interstate 10, most notably in those areas. And also to be a strong advocate for creating new multimodal Interstate 11, which is on a lot of people's minds. We also, I believe, can work on additional surface roads, multimodal installations associated with Interstate 11. And we want to build the press for a highway such as Interstate 11 that would be border to border. In other words, all the way down to the Nogales port, all the way to Nevada, ultimately to Mexico and Canada. So transportation is going to be key for us in Pinal County, for Pima County, all of Arizona. Economic development is another area I think we can benefit both counties and all of Southern Arizona. We've got a great location here in the middle of the Sun Corridor. Given that location, I think we can maximize international trade of Mexico, maximize some of our other national, regional, and local markets, and then further develop, I believe, some of our transportation linkages. That one notable example of that would be the Union Pacific Classification Yard. that's located just over the border of Pinal, Pima, near Red Rock. This is a $300 million capital investment with 300 employees that would be at that location. Then finally, I think one of the benefits by this arrangement with TRIO would be political. I think we can combine our political agendas and benefit both counties. Politics in the past, I believe, has been somewhat dominated by Phoenix and Maricopa County. I see this as an opportunity to reach a little bit more parity when it comes to political influence.
So you see this as really enhancing some of the things that have been going on up in Pinal County. As you say, you're situated between Pima and Maricopa. You're in a great position right in the center of the state, so this will enhance what you're already doing.
Absolutely. We're a county in transition. We just had a tremendous amount of population growth and changing somewhat of the character, but we also have a county that wants to retain a lot of our historic roots in agriculture, agribusiness, and I think there's a way in which we can do that as we transition, but again, those areas, transportation, economic development, political influence, is areas that are common to both Pima and Pinal County and will work to the benefit of all Arizona.
Can you give us an idea of some of the businesses that are coming to Pinal County in the future, near future?
Oh, sure. Yes. We've got some businesses that we've been working on. We have some current successes with Tractor Supply Distribution Center. That's a $100 million capital investment with about 250 employees. In the agriculture area, we seem to be attracting some additional companies, such as Case New Holland. That's a $15 million capital investment, about 25 engineers or technical employees. Up in the mining areas, with Resolution Copper near the Superior area, that's a $6 billion capital investment, 3,500 employees, and a project associated with that, associated with the processing of the copper, is a Rio Tinto concentrator. That's another $500 million capital investment, 350 employees. And of course, a lot of in the news has been the Phoenix Mart, which is a global trade center. That's continuing to move through the process, and there's been some recent site activity in the area of Casa Grande, $167 million capital investment, nearly 4,000 employees. Some of the ones, again, that are kind of game changers for Pinal is the Union Pacific Red Rock Classification Yard, $300 million capital investment, 300 employees. These all end up to be a real big deal for Pinal County in southern Arizona. Because I believe if we're successful in even a portion of those, hopefully we'll get all of them. But even a portion of them will certainly be game changers when it comes to economic development and developing a real economy for Pinal County.
Speaking with the chair of the Pinal County Board of Supervisors, Anthony Smith, I only got a couple of minutes left, but with TRIO, you see this as more of a, TRIO's been talking a lot about regionalism. This sort of segues right into that with Pinal County now in the portfolio.
Yes, absolutely. TRIO was the organization that has been dominating the area of Pima County. Our economic development in Pinal County has been somewhat, inconsistent in maybe possibly the direction. I think to regain our focus, we now have a strategic plan of which we didn't have a true strategic plan that focused on economic development. Now we have a strategic plan that is very much economic development, a very real part of that. So it was very fractured. We had several organizations, different agendas. So now we, I believe, have regained some consistency. We've identified the jobs and the businesses we want to attract. And our previous position, I think, was somewhat reactive. We were dependent on others outside the county to make economic decisions with really no self-determination. Now, I believe we're at the helm, and we're helping to make Pinal County grow.
All right, Supervisor Chairman Anthony Smith, Pinal County Board of Supervisors, going to have to wrap this up. We've got about less than a minute. So Pinal County really is a county that's in transition, going from agriculture to more of a, in some ways, bedroom community to Phoenix and Tucson on the south end. So again, geography is a big advantage for you, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I see Pinal County as that linkage between Phoenix and Tucson. I'm certainly aware of a lot of the major infrastructure projects that are planned for Arizona are going right through Pinal County, whether it's commuter rail, it's Interstate 11, it's North-South Freeway that's going through Eloy and Coolidge, connecting to the East Valley of Phoenix. So we're in a great position. And we're going to be able to leverage, I think, a lot of these projects in order to just help propel us and position us for the future.
Chairman Anthony Smith, Pinal County Board of Supervisors, thank you for spending part of your lunch hour with us, sir. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you very much. For more information, visit TREOAZ. It's TREOAZ.org for our CEO interview series. We bring you once a month here on The Buckmaster Show. Coming up to 12:46 on the Thursday afternoon edition, we'll be right back.
Your kids are grown. The days of ballet recitals and soccer games are over. You're looking forward to the next season of life. It's your time. This is David Clark at Plutus Motor Group, and we have what you're looking for. Late model, low-mileage vehicles from Mercedes, Audi, Porsche, BMW, and exotics like Maserati and other fine imports. Visit our indoor showroom and enjoy the Plutus experience at Dodge and Aho, adjacent to Copenhagen, or online at PlutusMotorGroup.com. Plutus Motor Group. It's your time. 529-1000.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. From cooking, cleaning, bathing, and drinking, the benefits of a Culligan system are obvious. You'll use less soap, shampoo, and detergent. Your appliances will last longer, your clothes will last longer, and stay brighter, too. All of this saves you money and adds to the quality of life. Not to mention softer skin and softer hair the whole family will enjoy. Culligan has been in Tucson since 1946, and we have seen about every water concern imaginable. We continue to stay on top of the newest state-of-the-art technology to deliver the refreshing, clean, and high-quality water that's become the Culligan hallmark of excellence. Try a Culligan water treatment system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental on an annual rental agreement. Schedule your free water test, and don't forget to ask about the Culligan High Efficiency Water Softener. Call 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
It's the Specialist's biggest sale ever. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, everything in our stores is priced up to 70% off. Want some JL subs? We've got them. And we'll even give you the second one free. Need a new amp? How about a Rockford Fosgate for $89? Everything at our lowest prices of the year for 3 days only, November 13th, 14th, and 15th at the Specialist's biggest sale ever. Speedway, Broadway, and Wetmore at the Auto Mall.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you're looking for a great weekend getaway, Silver City has so much to offer. Really, it's an escape from the ordinary. Walk through the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, swim in the Gila River, relax in a hot spring, hike in the Gila National Forest, and visit Silver City's historic downtown with its galleries, antique stores, museums, and restaurants. Find out more about all the things to do and places to stay, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Continental Divide RV Park, by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Carolyn Neathammer, who many Tucsonans know as a writer of cookbooks. She's done about five cookbooks on cooking with local ingredients and such. She has produced now a novel for her 10th book called The Piano Player, but she hasn't strayed too far from the world of food and culinary magic, as one of the main characters is a famous historic chef. First of all, Carolyn, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. To see you again.
The historic chef is?
Nellie Cashman. And Nellie Cashman is known throughout the West for her great cooking. She actually had a restaurant in Tucson in 1879. And as far as I could tell, it's was where La Placita is now, that little white gazebo. Mm-hmm. I think that is exactly where her restaurant was. The roads have been realigned a little bit. But then when silver was discovered in Tombstone and it began growing, she took off for Tombstone. And while in Tombstone, she had many different restaurants, but the most well-known of them was called the Russ House. After that, she ran that several restaurants in Tombstone until Tombstone began falling apart, the mines filled with water, and then she traveled around Arizona. She was in Yuma, she was in Prescott, she was in Jerome, she was in Harquahala, which is west of Phoenix and doesn't exist anymore as a mining area. And you can track her through the newspaper reports. They'd all say, "We understand that Nellie Cashman has arrived in town and will start a restaurant. We will soon get the opportunity to taste her fabulous food."
So everybody knew. She had a great reputation as a chef and a restaurateur, and wound up in Dawson City, even up in the big Alaska gold rush.
After the big gold rush of 1898, she was already 48. And still made that trek. It was very, very dangerous. I had to hike over the icy Chilkoot Pass. There's a very popular picture where you can see this line of the backs of men climbing over this ice, carrying their packs. And that's how you got in. You went over the Chilkoot Pass, then down the frozen Yukon and into Dawson City, where she did have a restaurant, a grocery store, and did some mining.
Yeah, because the back end of the book, second half of your novel, really goes
it starts in Tombstone, winds up in the Yukon.
Absolutely. I follow these two characters.
Let's talk about the characters. Who is the piano player in the title, The Piano Player?
Now, the piano player is Mary Rose, who became Frisco Rosie. She was a well-born young woman, grew up in San Francisco, had family reverses. She'd always had a dream of going to Tombstone and becoming an actress. So she took off, got to Tombstone, and of course there wasn't any place to be an actress. It was the silly dream of a young girl, but she had to make a living. She did know how to play the piano, so she got a job playing the piano at the famous Birdcage Theater. Now, she had been an upper-middle-class young woman, and now, as a piano player in the Birdcage, she was of an entirely different status, and she had to learn a different way of living. She boarded at the Russ House, and she and Nellie, although they were very, very different people, became friends. They were two women alone in a town full of men, and Nellie, being a little older, a little wiser, helped her along.
So, being a woman in the late 19th century in this part of the world, quite a bit was expected of them.
Oh, yes. A woman, a typical woman, you were expected to marry, set up a household, have kids, and raise them. That was what was expected. Doing what Nellie Cashman did, of course, Nellie Cashman was a real character, and Frisco Rosie is fictional. I made her up, but based on many other real-life characters, they were the outliers. They were different. They were women who were not married, and they were women supporting themselves. They were in business for themselves.
And that was very unusual.
Very unusual.
And place in your book, as I mentioned, it places Tombstone is your central focus, right? And then you move on to Alaska.
Yes, well, that was Dawson City. Well,
yeah.
You know, and there's so much going on in Tombstone. When we say Tombstone now, we're thinking, you know, the gunfight at the OK Corral. And that one, I mean, it took, like, what, 16 minutes, something like that, and that is all we think about. But a lot went on in Tombstone. It was a very, very vibrant place. And as a matter of fact, I have read that someone said that Tombstone had the best restaurants during that period between St. Louis and San Francisco. And when you look at the menus were published in the Tombstone Epitaph, amazing menus, and the it's even more amazing when you realize that a recipe for chicken soup starts, catch, gut, and clean the chicken.
Yeah, I was just asking. I was curious about what were some of the menu items in those days and that kind of stood out. And,
oysters.
You know, you didn't have the refrigeration and everything, so it was probably pretty difficult to put together a good meal.
That was the other thing. Well, by the time the railroad came in, and the railroad came as far as Charleston, only 10 miles away from Tombstone at that time, things were coming from the coast on beds of ice. And so oysters, Tombstone residents loved oysters.
Really? And
they
were getting them from
a lot
the coast.
Of them. Yes, yes. Oh, she would have three different when you saw the menu, three different kinds of roasts and a number of different salads and two cakes, three different kinds of pie and a few puddings.
Well, it's a part of the Old West we don't normally think about or talk about what was on the menu and what folks were eating. That's fascinating. What would you like the reader to take away from your new book, The Piano Player?
Well, you know, this was a period of time between the end of the Civil War and the beginning of the First World War that we don't talk about very much. It was a time of Western expansion, a lot of mining, a lot of new towns, a lot of opportunity for people who were in a situation on the east where they couldn't go up, they couldn't go down. This was the time. Go west. Start a new life. And that's what a lot of this was, where Rosie, the piano player, was eventually moving from town to town, trying to make a living as a piano player. Nellie was moving around, having a, restaurants in different places. And then, of course, in the middle of a deep depression, the gold was discovered in the Yukon. And bankers walked out of the bank. Farmers laid down their plows. Everybody rushed there.
All right. I'm going to have to wrap it up. Carolyn Neathammer, the book is The Piano Player. Where can folks get a hold of this book, Carolyn?
Most of your local bookstores have it, and I'm going to be at Barnes & Noble on the afternoon of November 22nd.
All right. We will see you there. Thank you very much, Carolyn. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan Better Water, pure and simple. Thank you, Culligan, supplying all of our in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. For Tucson at 4, our another local talk show, we urge you to listen to 3 hours of talk from 6 to 9, and then we'll be back with you, Ed Alexander, engineering the show, and me, the host, Bill Buckmaster. We hope you have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.